Good morning. So this morning, everything on here comes from the teacher, Jesus Christ. Last week I noticed that Mary Emma had used scripture for the title. I decided to follow suit this week and to kick it right off with something that Jesus taught. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. This is a very powerful statement. Jesus wouldn't have said it if it wasn't true. He would not have told us this if we could not live this way. And right now I'm in the studies with a group on Wednesdays, which is wonderful, going back over again Emmett Fox's Sermon on the Mount. And he makes it very clear in the opening. Either you believe in what Jesus taught or you don't. Either you believe Jesus meant it, or you think he was lying. There's really nothing in between. Either you believe this in principle, or you do not. And that does not mean that we suddenly function in the absolute of Christ's perfection, but it becomes a wisdom that we can practice, knowing that there will be results that are Christ-like, that come from our Creator. And of course, this is talking about what we teach up front here in Divine Science. Everything is God consciousness. There is no separation. The two fundamental rules to everything we teach. If I'm living in that consciousness, then I will know and understand to be therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. If we are already one with this, then so it is. And that cannot be changed. As to what I allow to enter into my mind and pull me away from that is another story. And of course, we talk about the shadows and the illusions and the erroneous thoughts, which all damper this and pull us away from it. The good news is, though, it's not out there doing it to us. It's my thoughts that allow this to happen. Easier said than done. However, a project worth keeping in the forefront and in constant pursuit of understanding better. So as we move along, he teaches us, which was mentioned last week, but I say unto you that ye resist not evil. How easy it is to get into the game, to be the good guy against the bad guy. But now we're looking at duality. Every situation sees a good guy and a bad guy. Some folks that we'd call enemies see us as nothing less than enemies. Some people that would say bring such rottenness to this planet would look at us and say, you bring such rottenness to the planet. It's so easy to have a bad guy so that I can condone my behavior and my actions, so that I can be violent and vicious and nasty, that I can declare war and wreak havoc. And this has gone into a depth of which Christians, to a certain degree, have done this and called it in the name of Christianity and condoned ruining and destroying other countries and the people because they did not practice their outer beliefs. That's why I love Divine Science and a couple of the other Christian faiths that are like this, because we do not condone that behavior or practice it in any way, shape, or form. That's why it comes up now and again. We're downstairs and Mary Emma will bring it up. We don't talk politics here. Leave that for out there. We're not about that. That's the good guy, bad guy. That's the race mind. If you study Jesus' teachings, there's nothing in there whatsoever where he takes sides like that. In fact, he said, what belongs to Caesar, let it be of Caesar. What belongs of God, be of God. And I get that. It makes life a lot easier. Doesn't mean I don't step up and live in my beliefs, but I don't do it in a way that gets involved in the race mind. I mean, I sure try not to. If I resist not evil, then I'm living in the light. And if I'm living in the light, then I'm practicing God consciousness. And if I'm doing that, that's enough for me. And it was enough for Jesus. If you saw it, you saw it. If you didn't, he moved on. If you don't want to get it, that's your choice. Don't get it. He did not come back and try and force feed it to anybody. Ever. So I believe there's something to that. But that was practicing to resist not evil. It gets so easy to get locked up into dueling conversations, of which I see more than ever, the other person's not going to agree with you anyway. So, isn't that a very frustrating space to go into? Instead, live and let live, you know. Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God." And Jesus understood how he lived and breathed. He understood how he had his being. He knew that this goodness came from something far greater. And I understand that to a decent degree today. I know that a lot of my life exists because I turned it over to God rather than to me. You know, because I would not do half the things I do today if I did not turn it over to God first. And it's just, this right and of itself talks about humility and being humble. That Jesus had to absolutely have intact to even begin to practice what he practiced and teach what he taught. His 3 days in the desert was all about humility and getting humble and seeing the difference between the race mind and living in God mind, so that he would not be tempted to have to prove himself the way the race mind world wanted him to. He would not be trapped in the duality while thinking, "I'm doing something good here." He needed to know this. You know, and these are words that have fallen by the wayside. Humility, humble, they're almost curse words in today's age. It's like, oh, well, aren't you pathetic? That's how twisted it works. That's how what I will call the evil works in. But what is this evil? It's a person's thinking. To take something as beautiful as that and turn it into something that's bad. And to get people to believe that. But if you're really living out there, you're going to find out after a while that humility and humbleness is a power beyond comprehension. It's of God mind. Which comes to this next, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth." We're not here scoring a bunch of little stars and little points so that we then can have the heaven. That's not how it works. Heaven is now. We're already in it. We're just in this earth plane, which is very much a part and one with heaven. It is how we exist in this dimension and express ourselves and make manifest. That is the earth. It is visible. It is an idea of God's. And since it's an idea of God's, then though I can't completely comprehend it, it's obviously perfect and purposeful. And there's a reason for mine to be here at this point in time. So what is it I'm supposed to be doing? And it gets so easy to not pay attention to that. There's so many distractions out there. So many pleasures that help to distract. Oh, I'm feeling really good. Life's wonderful. But I'm not really doing much of anything. And that's something I woke up to and keep waking up more and more to. You know, sometimes it's not going to be good. If I'm stretching in this consciousness, I of the flesh, I'm sometimes going to suffer because I don't understand. But I will continue to go through it because I'm like, well, here we go again. Growing pains. Gosh, they never do quite go away, do they? They come in many variations. It's not just from the time I'm an infant till I grow to full maturity physically. That's one form of growing pains. There's spiritual growing pains. There's psychological growing pains. There's so many kinds of growing pains. But as I learned a long time ago, I'd rather grow. I'd rather have pain at time growing like that than pain because I'm just rotting. Because that's another form of pain. And when I get it, I get it. And then I don't have to have the pain at all. And that's nice. I like when that happens. So I want to remember that so I don't have to necessarily go through things that I have to struggle. But, you know, I can't lay that down because that's not how it necessarily works anyway. But I do find that once I get something and I keep it, that part of my life seems to keep working nicely. And it works well. But it doesn't mean I have it all figured out. I got just another little piece of it figured out. Yeah. I can, of my own self, do nothing. A powerful statement again. I can do nothing. And I think about, what does that mean for if I choose to live that way and I'm accomplishing a bunch of things? Jesus will still say, yeah, you're doing nothing. Wow. That's a pretty hard hit. I remember a person many, many years ago saying, this turning your will and your life over to God stuff is nonsense. I'm my own man. I don't need God to take care of me. I'm not a baby. And that's the best they could understand of it. You know? It's like saying, you know, I have two arms, but I'm just going to keep them behind my back here and go through my day and never use them again. And some people don't have them and they can't use them. But how foolish of me to say, I don't need my arms, I'm a thinking man. I'll figure out a way. That's the same thing. I don't need God. I have self-will. I have my subconscious, and I can be a bulldozer. I can be a trampling stampede, you know? That's nice. There's many stories about great kings in the Bible that worked like that. And, you know, they looked like they did great things. But they really didn't do much of anything but to teach people how to live in such limitation and not allow the beauty of God's consciousness, grace, salvation, love, peace, wisdom work through them. Often, though, what the king wanted was everyone to serve them. That was usually the plan. You know, do not turn to God. You turn only to me. I'm your God. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. So Jesus here, it's very clear. One of the greatest things that Jesus was and why Jesus was is he was our teacher. He was teaching us who we are and he was teaching us how to do it. He did it by example. He did it by word. He lived and breathed it. So we could see all the time in his very limited ministry how it works. How it works. And that's why it carries on today in spiritual wisdom. That's why he's not living on this earth forever, walking around, teaching us. A part of what I came to understand is his leaving so quickly, there's several reasons behind it, but one of them too is also, it kind of put his disciples to now have to go out there and do as he did. Rather than just, they followed him in principle, not followed the man. You know? He was not their boss. You go here and you go there and you do this. He did that for about 3 years with them. And then he sent them on their own. Now you do it. And you pass this on. And you teach your disciples. And you live as I lived. You know? Because I think if he just stayed around in the flesh, then we would learn nothing. And we do what a lot of people do. Just turn him into a deity and pray to him and beg to him. And expect him to take care of everything while we don't practice this stuff. Well, Jesus got my back. I'll sit around and do nothing. And then we get disappointed and blame God and curse God. What kind of God would allow these things to happen? It's so easy to go into that. When God has left and created all that is and has given us the knowledge on how to understand all these principles and all this science and how we too can practice it so that we too can know that we are gods, small g, which was taught in the Old Testament and which Jesus also supported. So I can either live this way or not. I can continue to practice being filled with that Holy Spirit, which he also called the Comforter. I will leave you with the Comforter. So I can go within and know what I need to know and live as I want to live and have my being. Or not. The choice is ours. However, my attraction to divine science is because of where it allows me to go and what I'm allowed to learn. It makes it very clear than anything else I had ever come across. And for that, I'm grateful. So as I go through this day, and I will trip over myself, I don't know how many times today, but I'm sure I will, but I'll pick myself up and keep on keeping on walking in the light and practicing this and keeping my faith in this, even if I get a little swayed this way or that way. It's okay. You know, the perfection is God's. The learning is mine. So, anyway, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Powerful statement. Very powerful statement. And you can do these things as I do. Powerful. He wasn't giving us a song and dance. He said it because that's who we are, and that's what we can do, and that's who we can be. Anyway, so join me in a closing prayer. We give thanks to truth, to a great teacher, and teachers from all over the planet, all over the world, of different faiths, but from here, for me, my greatest teacher. Just thank you. May we all have this day in this truth. And may we all continue to evolve in this perfect love, this perfect wisdom. Because to know the truth is to know freedom. And so it is. Amen.